Robert, let me ask you, generally speaking, for what your take is on the state of affairs when it comes to government transparency. Where are we right now?
Well, I think we're in a precarious state right now because, again, you want to always have a balance between transparency and openness in government and the ability of government to make decisions. And the primacy of transparency and openness in government, I think, at all levels cannot be overstated in any way. But there are times when being off the record, quote unquote, may be appropriate, and it's a matter of sort of balancing that in terms of functionality of government versus the full transparency that many of us as citizens might desire and expect from government.
And Robert Cribb is back with us. And Robert, how did the Golden Padlock Award actually come into being? What's kind of the origin story behind the award?
Well, I mean, I think it's a reflection of many years of frustration on the parts of journalists trying to access public records, government-held records that ultimately belong to the public and are sought in the public interest. And it so frequently is the case that we can't get access to them that, there is a great pent-up frustration, I would say, in the journalistic community about that. And we often try and speak about it, but nobody really cares when we whine about not getting access to records. So this was an idea that I came up with to try and reflect it in a different way.
And Robert Cribb, what's the push-pull here? Is it elected officials who certainly have to understand they owe some accountability to the public, just trying to figure out what they can hold when the question should be, let's get as much out there, how much can we share?
Yeah, for me, it's all about what is the default position, right? So we all agree that there is some information that should not be released publicly. I don't think there's any debate about that, personal information. Nobody's trying to get access to your health records or to national security information that could compromise the safety of people. Nobody's arguing about that. What we're talking about is what is clearly public interest information that the government has a responsibility to release. And the feeling, I would say, the journalistic position is that the default position of government in those cases should be to release, rather than the default position being what it very frequently is to figure out a way not to release. And that's a cultural issue. It's not just about legislation, it's not about the words of the legislation all the time. It's about the cultural, bureaucratic mindset.
Yeah. One more for you, Robert Cribb. Two of the 2017 nominees were from Georgia. From your group's perspective, why did the case of Judge Brenda Weaver in North Georgia make the cut?
Because it was extraordinary. I mean, it was an example of legal retaliation against a journalist for seeking public interest records. So in this case, this was a judge who became annoyed with a journalist who was pursuing a story vigorously, and as a result of his public records requests and demands for transparency and openness, ultimately faced arrest and an evening in jail with his lawyer. I mean, it's just an extraordinary case of deep commitment to secrecy.
Yeah. Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed was nominated for the Padlock Award. Now, this was in response to his decision to print more than 1 million documents about a City Hall bribery scandal in response to a public records request. Robert Smith, what do you recall about this case and how extraordinary was it?
Well, I think it was certainly extraordinary in the case of the disclosure of what really was perhaps if not millions, thousands of documents I think there was some bit of a surprise about the nomination, but not necessarily unexpected once you realize the details of the circumstances, which is where there was clearly, it seemed to be, an attempt to sort of obfuscate or at least to deflect in some way, shape, or form from the mandate of disclosure by releasing the voluminous amount of materials. And so certainly it's not surprising, I suppose, that the nomination was forthcoming from the mayor.
The mayor held a press conference to unveil more, to release these documents. The large amount of documents included unreadable spreadsheets, I'm told, school lunch menus, crime reports, paving schedules. And during the press conference, the mayor talked about the need to present the documents in this particular way.
It took hours of preparation. We have borne the cost of that. We have not tried to shift the cost to the press. So today, we have some guidelines. We're going to lay them out, and we're going to make sure that we assist you. Because I also heard your concerns about this being just an attempt to give you so many documents that you couldn't possibly find what you needed to cover this investigation.
And we also asked the Jim Zachary of the Transparency Project of Georgia for his take on the large release of documents.
The people of Atlanta should look at something like that and find it to be very poor public service. I don't think it's an indictment on Mayor Reed's entire administration, but it clearly was an abuse. Here's one thing that open government advocates have said for a very long time. If you have nothing to hide, why hide?
Robert Smith, was this abusive?
Well, I don't know if I would go to the extent of calling it abusive, but it certainly was an attempt, I think, to obfuscate the public record by simply providing voluminous documents that may or may not have any direct bearing on the issue at hand. And in that particular case, I think that it was perhaps not in best form, let's say that.
And Robert Cribb, the mayor's spokesman, had some tough words for your organization, saying in a statement that, quoting now, if the organization's mission is truly dedicated to improving the quality of investigative reporting, then this nomination is not only baffling, but an insult to the hardworking women and men of the Reed administration who worked expeditiously to produce more than 2 million pages of documents without compromising an ongoing federal investigation and the privacy of innocent individuals. What's your reaction to that statement?
I think that the men and women who did all of that work did indeed work far too hard. I agree with that. It's a classic needle in the haystack technique of secrecy. And we're seeing it more and more. One of the reasons that we chose that particular case is because it is reflective thematically of sort of a new approach in bureaucracies across North America, which traditionally used the sort of the technique of delay and deny. Mm. So they give you nothing. This is kind of a new trendy method, which is to shower you with irrelevance and paper, when in fact digital information would be far more appropriate. In fact, the administration did produce digital information for the FBI. They just didn't make it available to reporters that day because it was a spectacle. It was a show designed to give the air of transparency, when in fact it was clearly designed to obfuscate the details.
So I asked this question of Robert Smith. Let me ask you, Robert Cribb. I'm always surprised at governments that they're so concerned with what they withhold. How would you sort of more broadly characterize the current moment when it comes to government openness?
So I would say that it is getting worse.
Getting worse.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. The techniques of secrecy, I mean, I don't know if they all go to the same conferences. They all seem to be aligned in their techniques and the methodologies of this. It's increasingly sophisticated. And they also understand that newsrooms across the country are incredibly resource-strapped. I mean, this is tough times for journalism, and it's a perfect opportunity to use techniques like needle in the haystack to simply get journalists to throw their hands up and say, listen, I don't have time for this. I got to walk away. So it's great. It's a great time to be a secrecy-minded bureaucrat.
Yeah, and the argument seems to be, or we've heard it at times, perhaps articulated this way, look, enough is enough. I'm bogged down. You could certainly hear this in what the mayor was suggesting. Enough is enough. I'm bogged down with open records requests that I can't get my people to do the people's work. That I'm being harassed by reporters. Is there an argument that there is some journalistic overreach going on here? Robert Smith.
I don't think so. I think that journalists need to do their job. And it seems to me that, again, that primacy of transparency and openness in government needs to be sort of at center stage. And I think this is part of the public sphere. It is part of the public's work whenever there are inquiries into the substantive work that governments do. And so, no, it doesn't seem to be inappropriate whatsoever to be to have those expectations.
And I'm wondering, Robert Cribb, to what extent are the fake news allegations and suggestions coming from the White House hindering the watchdog role of the press?
You know, it's a really fascinating question. I think the answer is unfolding still. I don't think we know the answer to that. I think it's very clear that it has poisoned the minds of many against the media. Effectively. So to some extent, it's rhetoric that has effectiveness. I also think there's an unintended consequence happening where it is raising questions, really for the first time in my memory, where the public isn't actually engaging in conversations about the role of the media. And there's backlash against that. There is, I think, increasingly a feeling that it's unfair criticism.
Right.
In fact, the press is playing a vital role and asking the very important questions that need to be asked.
Robert Cribb and Robert Smith, thank you both very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.